Okay, the House come to order. Members, we're at that order of business of bills on second reading. I'm going to change the order that you have, and we have members, several members are at bill signings. And on Senate File 49, the first one on your list, Investment Funds Committee, the First Amendment is from Representative Larson. He is at a bill signing right now. So we're going to move Senate File 49 to the bottom of those four bills. Only four bills on second reading. Okay? Well, I just see him speak and he shall appear. Poof. So we're going to stay with our normal order of bills, just like I was saying. Now that to sponsor the amendment on, so the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 49. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
Senate File 49, sponsored by Capital Financing, Investment Funds Committee, an act relating to state investments.
We have an amendment. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members of the House, I'd like to move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 49. As the office that oversees the money that this bill impacts, reviewed the bill that we have here, and our staff that drafts the bill looked at it. They found a couple of things from the House Standing Committee amendment that we need to rearrange a sentence in this bill. So if you was to look at the House Standing Committee amendment number one that we passed, we took Section A in the existing bill, and I'm trying to make this to where I don't lose you. In the existing bill, we took Section A and we created three subsections out of that Section A. We created a Section A, a Section B, and a Section C. And then at the bottom of, on page 2 of the bill, on page 17, 18, and 19, there's a sentence there that talks about a date of March 1st being the term of appointment for those people that are appointed to this committee. And we moved that into the new Section A, and that created some problems. And I'll explain that here in just a minute. You know, just a minute. What this amendment does is take that exact same sentence from the new Section A and puts it into the new Section C. And what this does is this makes that term of appointment apply to the voting members appointed by the selection panel. And that's important to keep track of when they're tenure on this committee started. Now, the reason we moved it from the new Section A to the new Section C is had we left it in the new Section A, it would also apply to the non-voting members appointed by the governor and by management council. And their terms will follow that of the governor's, his election cycle, and it would also follow the terms, which would be 2 years, by those appointed by the Management Council. So we put that appointment date in there to apply to those voting members of this committee, and those that aren't, they're non-voting members that are recommended by the governor and Management Council and that follow those terms. So in essence, there you have the amendment to this bill and the correction that it makes, and I would ask for your support.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate File 49, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That amendment has been adopted. Having been read, Senate File 49, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 127.
Senate File 127, sponsored by Senator Pappas. Exterior Residential Storm Damage Repair Contracts, an act relating to consumer protection.
We have an amendment. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr.
Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 127 and ask for your favorable consideration. I know we're getting towards the end, but we got to suck it up here a little bit and keep pushing forward. And I didn't get up and speak against this bill when it came on Committee of the Whole. But in our committee, in our standing committee, this bill was presented as a consumer protection bill. And I think as it was presented as Committee of the Whole, there was a necessity that's been in a lot of communities around the state to assist with elderly people being, I think were identified or being pressured into services in an unsavory manner. So with that in mind, and coupled with the fact of who was testifying and really pushing this bill in our committee, which to me felt like it was the insurance industry. And so I'm looking at this and going, okay, if we're going to be a consumer protection bill, let's make it a consumer protection bill. So what I've done through this is went in and pulled out all of the references that deal with the insurance industry. And I've cleaned up a couple of definitions and a couple of items for this so that we are now dealing with these roofers that come in chasing storms and how they contract directly with the consumer and the remedies to protect those consumers. So with that, I will start to walk through that. And this is not quite as bad as it looks. And I know we're late in the session. But on page 2, what I believe we needed to have inserted was a definition of a consumer, and that is a definition that we've used throughout the statute. I think we had an earlier legislation on reoccurring contracts that used a similar definition. So you'll find that on page 2 in the definitions, we've inserted the definition of a consumer. Now, as you move down through the amendments to page 20 on the amendment, line 17 on the amendment, to line 15 on the amendment, we're just renumbering, okay? Then we get to page 3, line 12, and if you look on the bill, it says an individual or other entity contacting anyone for the purposes of soliciting. We said contacting a consumer. We're talking about consumer protection, this defined group of people. So that is a definitional item and a cleanup and a tightening and refocusing of the legislation. Then the next thing we look at is when you turn to page 4, we're talking about what these contractors shall not do. Contractors soliciting exterior storm damage repair services in the state shall not, and it's pay, advertise, or promise to pay rebates or any portion of insurance deductible. Okay? And then we come in, and then we had this. But unless the insured and the insurer and insured agree otherwise, this payment or rebate shall be made equally to the client or any insurer paying for the repairs. Look, now we're bringing in the third party being the insurance company. So I put a period after the goods and services and strike everything that deals with the insurance company. We're talking about a contract between the contractor and the consumer. Let's just have this bill say that. That continues over on the next page of 5 where it says pay any compensation directly or indirectly to any person associated with the property unless disclosed to the consumer in writing. Well, we take that third party out, being the insurance company. We don't need to have that language in there, and we just make it a cleaner, tighter bill. The next component then is when you turn to page 6, line 18. And these are disclosure requirements for exterior storm damage repair proposals. And so I'm deleting line 18 and 20. And these are disclosures required under subsection A of this section shall be made in writing and shall be included in the repair proposal. With respect to that one, if you've got a written proposal, why do you restate again? So that was just a cleanup item. The next component.
30 seconds.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The next component of that. Again, and I guess I'll speed this up. What I did is pull out all of this language regarding the insurance companies. And we're talking about consumer contracts. I clean this up so that we're dealing with contracts between the contractor, and they will have the disclosures, the protections to protect the consumer who's using their services, and we've done it in a cleaner fashion. I've also cleaned up the cancellation notice to make sure we had the name, date, and the address of where the contract was specific to. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll utilize the whole 5 minutes. Wow, first time for everything this year.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Chairman's Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think I can defend the – I found 14 different sections that I think we could have a discussion about, but I can't defend them all in my 5 minutes. So maybe what I'd like to do is divide the amendment at this time, at least into two, and then we'll see how agreeable the body gets. But, Mr. Speaker, can I divide the amendment lines 1 through 23 on page 1? It would be division number 1. And right now, let's make everything else division number 2, with the exception of line 1 on page 2, because those all fit into the new definition of consumer, and everything else on division 1 is, well, if that's divisible, and then I'll talk about why. It's page 1, lines 1 through 23 would be division 1, along with page 2 and just line 1. And everything else would be division 2 right now.
I'm going to rule that it is divisible with these definitions and that. So please proceed on division number 1, which is lines 1 through 23 on page 1 and includes also line 1 on page 2. The rest of the amendment is division 2.
Okay.
So for your first 5 minutes, go ahead.
Well, and thanks, Mr. Speaker. This will be quick. I think the good sponsor of this amendment is putting the word consumer in the statute. I think that's appropriate. It's all conforming language. You'll see on lines 1 through 17 and then that addition on page 2. That's probably actually a good fix, and I think it needs a definition. The other part of that amendment would be lines, 19 through 22, and this is on page 4. And this is this weird thing on splitting basically the rebate or the payment half and half between the insurer and the client, and this was an amendment put onto the bill by our friends down the hall that I never really understood or liked myself. So if there's no other discussion, I'd be certainly happy to vote aye on Division 1.
Any discussion? Seeing none. We're voting on question being called, Division Number 1, the second reading amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That division number 1 has been adopted. We are now on division 2. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And I guess I would say there are actually some pretty good points throughout this. I wish maybe the bringer of the amendment had talked to me and we could work together on maybe a third reading amendment that delineates some of these. But let me just respond to some of the points made. I'm going to ask you to vote no on the rest of this. This is a consumer protection bill, but I'll be very upfront. It is in some ways also an insurance protection bill. And it's in some ways a consumer protection bill, not only against roofing contractors, but in some ways against their insurance company. So let me give you just a general example of what happens with these, the people that show up at your door that morning. You know, they come, you have a hailstorm, everybody on the street is affected, there's people out there at 8 a.m. knocking on your doors, and they're taking names and contracts and saying, yeah, we're going to fix this roof first, and yours might be a couple weeks down the line. They get up on your roof. Let's say they even bring you up on your roof with you, and they say, look at this damage right here. This is hail damage. You're going to get a new roof. Great. So you go back to your insurance company. You sign the contract. You say, well, yeah, they have the small town. There's two people, one kind of solid operator and one that's offering to do pretty much anything. They're going to come back, and they're going to let's say your insurance company says no. You know, maybe you have a very small spot of your roof that's damaged. You don't need an entire new $10,000 roof. You just need this, you know, $1,000 fix on this corner. But you signed a contract for the whole new roof. So what do you do? Well, you're contractually obligated to pay that contractor what you promised. Your insurance company doesn't have that same obligation to reimburse you. So you're basically just stuck getting a new roof. Even though your insurance company says no, what do you do? Well, you basically find a creative ways to force your insurance company to find a way to fund that. or you threaten a lawsuit against them and you basically encourage them to roll because the insurance company has a choice of paying for the new roof or going to court against you, and it's a lose-lose for them either way. So, yes, there are some protections for insurance companies in here, and we can, I guess we can talk about some individual places. But that's basically most of the language you'll see on page 2 of the amendment. All those will take in the insurer out of it, and a lot of it is this provision about four places that if within 3 days now after the standing committee amendment, if your insurance company comes back and says, no, we're not going to cover your claim, you get an opt-out of the contract with your contractor. Because in good faith with your roofing contractor who said, oh, yeah, maybe I've talked to your insurance company or insurance will definitely cover this, you talk to your insurance company and they say, no, that roofing contractor will tell you whatever he wants. And so that's the provision we're taking out a lot of places in here. There's some good provisions, but I don't want to divide it six times. I think the only thing that doesn't involve insurance companies is maybe they're on page 3 of the amendment that talks about name, address, date, signature. I think it's important to have the address. You already have the name and the date, which are the most important, and signature. I'd be a little bit worried about including the language location of work associated with contract. That's just, waiting a nice attorney to come forward and say, well, you didn't quite specify where on here, and it leaves a loophole. So at this time, I'd ask you to vote no on Division 2, and I would pledge to you I will work with a good bringer of the amendment and try to find some agreeable solutions on third reading that we can all get behind and makes it a better bill.
Chairman Greer, your first time on Division 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Never do tomorrow what you can do today. So I encourage your eye vote on Division 2. And so this is what I heard, and be corrected if I'm wrong. What I've heard is I enter into a contract with a contractor, okay? And then, and I do so thinking that my insurance is going to cover it because I have insurance. And you shouldn't vote for this amendment because if my insurance company says no, my insurance company is afraid I'm going to pressure them into covering what I've been paying them my premium for. So if you leave this language in there, then the insurance company gets to come in. They're not going to feel that pressure from me to pay the claim for which I've been paying my premium for. And I think that's what I heard. And I won't go any further with that. So I would just simply say, if we're going to have consumer protection for unscrupulous people that do this, because apparently we heard testimony that happens, then this make it a consumer protection bill, and let's not worry about letting our insurance company have some say in there or giving them some leverage to deny my claim. So please vote aye for Division 2.
Anyone else? First time on Division 2. Moving to second time, Chairman Zwanzer.
Thanks. And I think that is what you heard. I guess the policy question is, you get to choose your insurance company. Do you really want to hold them hostage? And, maybe your roof is slightly damaged, but not to the point of getting a new roof, and you want to force it out. Yeah, you pay your premiums. You pay your insurance. That doesn't mean every time you, you get a cut on your arm, you go ask to, I'm trying to think of a good example in the medical community. You get a bad operator, and they come forward, and you get tricked, and your only way out is to sue your insurance company or threaten a lawsuit so they fix your roof. And that's, I don't think that's a policy position that this body wants to carry forward, that for frivolous claims, you want to put insurance companies on the hook left and right for things that in there, and you can always take these things to court if they're legitimate, but I don't think you can have the burden being on the insurance company instead of being on the roofing contractor. What the bill tries to do is say there's good roofing contractors who have certifications, who have licenses in whatever jurisdiction they come forward. They don't have to be in the state. We're not doing that kind of protection. They just have to be licensed somewhere. And if those people are acting in good faith, yeah, that's great. But there are a lot of people when you get one of these storms that aren't acting in good faith. They come in, they have those high pressure door to door sales tactics. This bill allows them 3 days. It used to allow them 10, but now allows 3. but it should also allow 3 days that if for some reason, even in good faith, you operate with a good company, but your insurance company and that roofing contractor don't see eye to eye on the extent of the claim, that you go with your insurance company, because that's your insurance company. It shouldn't be some other roofing contractor who's out to make a profit. I know your insurance company's out to not, you know, try to spend money, because that's what keeps everybody's premiums low, and maybe that's the argument in the end. If you allowed this amendment, you know, over time premiums will go up because they have to defend against this kind of stuff. And so for today, I ask you to vote no. I will try to bring an amendment tomorrow that does is a better policy position for the body, I guess is the best way to put it.
We're voting on division number 2 to second reading amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, we need to stand anyway. Let's go. All those in favor, please rise. All those opposed? A little less than 31. 2nd reading, amendment number 1, division 2, has been adopted. Having been read 2 separate times, Senate File 127, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 129.
Senate File 129, sponsored by Senator Boner, sexual assault school employee, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
We have an amendment. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment 1 to Senate File 129 and ask for your favorable consideration. This really is a cleanup. You know, I started looking at that bill, and we used the language in the bill on page 2, line 23. We say grades or kindergarten through grade 12, and nowhere in the criminal code do we refer to anything like that. And then I started looking, and I said, well, okay, so where would we use that type of language? So I started looking at the education statutes. And when we refer to our schools, we use elementary or secondary. So it's just a cleanup, trying to make that consistent as we move forward and as we try to introduce this language into our criminal code. I think we're gonna want consistent language. And then the last little portion here, line 6, which changes page 3, line 1. It's again a cleanup. We delete there and insert actors. We're referring to a single individual. It's not plural. So just cleaning it up, really.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I have to agree, I'm on and in favor of this amendment. One of the concerns I had was that it specifically said kindergarten through 12th grade, and a few of our elementary schools actually have a preschool in them. So by including the elementary portion in there, that picks up the preschools, and we don't have to worry about that. So it's a good cleanup. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Chairman Barlow.
Mr. Speaker, we like friendly. Vote aye.
Certainly sounded friendly. Any other discussion? Seeing no discussion, we are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 129. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate File 129, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 142.
Senate File 142, sponsored by Senator Scott, Community Mental Health Payment Reform 2, an act relating to community mental health and substance use services.
We have an amendment. Chairman Nicholas. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move first reading amendment to Senate File 142 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does, the funding for the community health payment reform that was in this bill, if you go to page 4 and 5, the funding, and particularly if you go down to line 17 through 23, so the funding comes out of up to 25% of the contingency funds or other funds appropriated by the legislature to the department for involuntary commitments under Title 25 of the Wyoming statutes. So they're trying to find additional monies out of the extra exclusive dollars that we set aside for Title 25 in the supplemental budget. And I'm saying those monies are for Title 25. And if you recall, it's about $10 million. And frankly, there's no time frame on when this would be, when they would tap into those monies, what the criteria for tapping in those monies were. So all this amendment does is you can go into the Department of Health's budget, and if they have extra monies for on however they operate their fiscal profiles, it does not allow them to grab the Title 25 dollars that we set aside specifically for that purpose in the supplemental budget.
Any further discussion? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's think carefully about what we're being asked. When this bill, the current form of this bill is saying if we can avoid Title 25 costs, those savings that we should realize, we can actually fund some of the services that are giving us those savings. We hope to pull back Title 25 costs. We don't want to spend all those monies on Title 25. And therefore, as we spend less, let's put some of those savings toward more prevention, more diversion away from that highest cost care setting, and that is hospitalization. That is Title 25. That includes gatekeeping, diversion, crisis stabilization, includes all the other things in this bill, getting people medication when they come out of the hospital or actually before they go into the hospital setting. The other thing this does, folks, is remember the discussions we had during our budget process, how we, many of us, including myself, tried to protect certain blocks of money within for certain entities. Well, this is saying they're all fair game for this purpose, except those that are related to Title 25. So we're actually flipping it. Instead of saying we want to leverage the dollars for Title 25, leverage savings, which we hope for is savings, to do things at the community level, now we're going to say, nope, we're going to keep that highest cost dollars, we're going to keep that there, and we're going to take dollars from somewhere else, someone else's program, somewhere else in that big department, which no question, I think many of us in this body would agree that there seems to be dollars somewhere in there, but we don't get to say where they come from. And this way, we know what we're leveraging. We're leveraging dollars from the highest cost to try to divert away from that. So I would ask you to resist this amendment. And it's possible we can come up with a little different language, but this is actually what we're trying to get to. We're trying to actually reduce our costs in Title 25. And to do that, we can leverage some of those dollars at a lower cost care setting. So I would ask you to resist this amendment and continue with the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Seeing none, we're moving to second time before the sponsor. Okay, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, this bill goes into effect immediately. And so how are we going to know if there's 25% available of 25 of the contingency funds, which, by the way, if you recall, this is LSRA money. So we're taking food from our funds from our savings account, and we're going to use up to 25% of it. How do we know when we're going to spend that 25, the funds for Title 25? We won't know that until next, the rest of this biennium. So how in the world do we know if there's going to be any funds available at all with the information in this bill? So it's kind of a, you've got the horse way out in front of the wagon before this even goes into effect. So there's no practical way to implement it. But what are they really doing here? Well, they're trying to fund something without getting money from any place else that's going to fund it. So, and I don't have a problem with the bill and what it's trying to do, but if you want to use our rainy day account to fund this program, then let's just say it. That's what it's for. But to say, to go in and grab Title 25 dollars that may or may not be expended, when we won't know what that dollar amount is until next October, December, or even this time next year. I mean, so there's, it, you know, basically you've got the cart before the horse on the process of it. It's rainy day fund dollars, and so do you want to spend extra money just for this program and take it away from the Title 25 folks that we may be needing all the way up through the end of June of 2018? For the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. I'm telling you, it's hard to hear up here. Well, the last one was 31-29. I mean, got to give me a little break. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed 26-29. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final. No, I got to finish reading that. I'm sorry. Getting ahead of myself, members. Senate File 142, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. The first two bills on the list, Senate File 70 and Senate File 88, are moved down to the regular list. The remainder of the list stays the same. So the consent list consists of 92, 94, 96, 106, 111, 121, 138, 145, 148, and Senate File 170.
Any member desire to have any of these bills removed from the consent list? Seeing no movement towards all. Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to remove 148, please.
148 has been removed from the consent list. Any other bills? The reading clerk will please read the consent list bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 92, sponsored by Senator Pappas, Local Government Plan Review Authority, an act relating to fire protection, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 94, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, Franchise Business Relationships, an act relating to employment, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 96, sponsored by Senator Pappas, Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons, an act relating to professions and occupations, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 106, sponsored by Senator Scott, Obsolete Reporting Requirements, Repeal and Modification, an act relating to government record keeping and reporting, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 111, sponsored by Senator Baldwin, Nurse Practice Act Revisions, an act relating to the occupation of nursing, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 121, sponsored by Senator Baldwin. Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, an act relating to the Wyoming Pharmacy Act. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 138, sponsored by Senator Pappas, Certified Public Accountants Amendments, an act relating to professions and occupations. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 145, sponsored by Senator Nethercutt, University of Wyoming and Community College Boards of Trustees and Chairman, an act relating to the University of Wyoming and Community College Boards of Trustees. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 170, sponsored by Senator Dockstader, Unmanned Aircraft, an act relating to aeronautics. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Bightman. Blackburn. Blake. Excused. Bovee. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly.
Aye.
Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Ayer. Flitner. Freeman. Excused. Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley. Haley. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden. McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Excused. Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Allen.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
57 I.
Blake.
Oh, Blake.
Aye.
Any other votes? Closing vote, 58 I to excused. As for Senate File 92, are there any changes? Crank, aye to no. Clausen, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 94, are there any changes? Connolly, aye to no. Schwartz, aye to no. Dayton, aye to no. Garou, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Bovee, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 8 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 96, are there any changes? Closing vote. Edwards, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 106, are there any changes? Gray, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 111, are there any changes? Lone, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Piperinen, Aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 121, are there any changes? Closing vote. Gray, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 138, are there any changes? Clem, aye, to no. Winters, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 145, are there any changes? Jennings, aye, to no. Lone, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Beitman, aye, to no. Northrup, aye, to no. Brown, aye, to no. Zawanitzer, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Flitner, aye, to no. Blackburn, aye, to no. Byrd, aye, to no. Dayton, aye, to no. Schwartz, aye, to no. Lindholm, aye, to no. Connolly, aye, to no. Pelkey, aye, to no. Summers, aye, to no. Larson Dan, aye, to no. Blake, aye, to no. Winters, aye, to no. Laux, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Baker, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Burkhart, aye, to no. Greer, aye, to no. Larson Lloyd, aye, to no. Clem, aye, to no. McGuire, aye, to no. Crank, or Court, aye, to no. You? Crank, aye, to no. Allen, aye, to no. Bovey, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. Clausen, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 23 aye, 35 no, 2 excused. As for Senate File 170, are there any changes? Clem, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Further changes? Speaker, Mr. Speaker, aye, to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 92, 94, 96, 106, 111, 121, 138, and 170 have passed the House. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote, the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 145 has failed. We are at that order of business now of bills on third reading, regular list. We have a member who has an amendment on Senate File 70 that is at a bill signing, so we're going to switch the order. We're going to start. We have two bills on regular third reading list. And we will take on Senate File and consider Senate File 88 first. Okay? So the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88, sponsored by Senator Scott, Palliative Care, an act relating to public health and safety. Be it enacted by the legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Okay, members, we have the first amendment on Senate File 88 is to delete the enacting clause. So we're going to move that and deal with that secondly. Last, I should say. So the first amendment is third reading amendment number 2. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading or third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 88 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, we're just going into page 7 of the bill, and there were a few things that kind of gave me hesitation about the bill. I'm, in all honesty, not sure where I'm at on this bill. We're kind of going through some of this with my grandma and our own family, so I do understand the emotion involved with this discussion. So what I'd like to do is on page 7, line 6 through 8, just delete that part. I think that they're already providing a report on page 9, and so I would rather not have them advise the governor and the legislature. I think that that report can come through the good department that handles this area, and then we could just take that part out. And then also the next part, I was concerned about what drugs we might be talking about there and the dangerous and illegal uses. So we could take that part out. And then on line 16 through 22, on line 18, the local law enforcement, we're already taking care of this through the Division of Criminal Investigation. And so I'm just wanting to strike local law enforcement out of that section. And so that is the amendment. Those are my reasons, because it looks like we're dealing more with state agencies rather than putting the burden on our local law enforcement. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration and stand for any questions.
Any discussion on amendment number 2? Seeing none. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Gently to push back. looking at the bill, I don't know why we have a problem with advising regarding potential rules or legislation. I think it's an appropriate thing to keep in there. And I definitely am concerned when all they're saying is, when appropriate, advise local law enforcement on the needs of palliative care patients. I don't understand what the benefit is of removing this kind of language from this bill. So on and against the amendments.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I understand this amendment, it would delete lines 10 to 14. That area says that it seeks opportunities to open a dialogue with law enforcement and regulatory bodies on how to accommodate the legitimate uses of drugs for palliative care with efforts to control the dangerous and illegal uses of these drugs. And I think that's a very important part of this bill, because I think there's a very significant difference of opinion between pain specialists and the law enforcement part of our government. And I think that there needs to be a discussion between these two groups to come to some agreement on how these issues ought to be addressed. So therefore, I'm against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm speaking on and for this amendment. I think it's unnecessary that reporting be done. I think if they could report to the good department, which heads all of this, they in turn would provide the necessary further information on to those other entities. So I'm in support of, and I'd urge you to do the same.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honored and in strong support of this amendment. We've had lots of discussions about reporting lately, and if we can leave the executive out of one report, I think he'd be grateful. And as for the other part of the amendment, I strongly support keeping law enforcement out of the equation that is the doctor and the patient. Vote aye on the amendment.
Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment. And the reason being, so we've probably all been through this. So when you go through this end of life thing, and you have all of these medications and drugs to stop pain, and there could be tons of them laying around the house from this. And I think it's important to have a conversation about, with law enforcement, about how do you handle that? How do you make sure that these drugs aren't mismanaged, misused, end up in the wrong hands? It's not like authoritarian. It's just a conversation about how we deal with this at the end when there are some really potent drugs laying around. I don't see the harm in this. So the good bringer of the amendment, please explain to me what the need for this is. Why wouldn't you want to have this conversation take place?
Any further? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So it wasn't a session or two ago that we actually started to address this issue. We started to address it in the fact that when somebody's deceased and you go into their home, you've got to sometimes dispose of a bunch of controlled substances. The very substances that they might have been necessary during their palliative care period. So this is an ongoing discussion. We ought to be able to have this. That was when somebody was deceased. How about we have the discussion before that time? We passed that bill out of this. That was signed into law. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but we had that very discussion. But that was after someone had passed. Now we're talking about the time when we're trying to, the palliative care time, when they actually are utilizing potentially those controlled substances to make their quality of life better. So I think this is appropriate, and I would ask you to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. Yesterday I came and we were looking at many of these different elements within this council. So all we're trying to do now is just clarify a little better what the council does. And this is genuinely to try to help improve the functions of this council. And when you look at this, they already report to the Department of Health, who then goes and reports to the legislative body. But now we're talking about that they would report to the legislature as well. And I think that is something that is going to really ball the system up just a little bit there. Secondly, when you look from lines 10 to 14, opening dialogue with law enforcement, that's okay, but they can already do that in other places, but primarily they ought to be doing that with the Division of Criminal Investigation. But the part that's trying to be excised out of Romanet 6 there is a local law enforcement, and we're talking about, okay, which local law enforcement? I mean, this is a statewide bill. This is something that we're all supposed to be working on together. So who are we actually talking about in this provision? I just think that this actually cleans the bill up, and I think it helps a lot. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill. And specifically, here's the reason why on this amendment. I mean, we're talking about some types of drugs that they have a black market equivalent. When we're looking at those types of things and we're talking about this palliative care, I think there should be an avenue, and there should be, those talks should be going on with law enforcement. If this piece of legislation passes, this isn't a cleanup amendment. This isn't to say this is too much government. We're talking about illegal drugs in anybody's hands but those that they're prescribed to. So that conversation needs to happen if we're going to move forward with this piece of legislation, in my opinion. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
I'm on and against the amendment. As I read the page 7 there, line 6 through the end of the page, really, this is talking about situational things, and why would you not want to seek opportunities to open a dialogue? It's no secret there are problems with drugs. I don't think we would be wanting to avoid an opportunity to share information, which could help, move that problem to a solution.
Any other member for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. I look here at page number 7 of the bill. This is the amendment, paragraph 6 on 16, and it says, when appropriate, so this is a duty of this advisory council, when appropriate, advise the State Board of Pharmacy, the Attorney General, Division of Criminal Investigation and Law Enforcement, which we're striking, on the needs of palliative care patients for prescription drugs. I'm not that smart, but I would think that those in pharmacy, those in criminal investigation already know about certain needs for people who are suffering, in particular with pain medications. I'm trying to figure out what they're going to advise them on. I'm on and for the amendment. I don't think it necessarily goes far enough. I don't think we actually need that whole section. But as it stands, I'm in support of it. So I guess ask yourself that question. This council is supposed to advise the Board of Pharmacy about the needs of palliative care patients and their prescription drugs. I would think that the Board of Pharmacy would already know that. So on in support.
Any other members? First time. Okay, we're going to move to second time before the sponsor. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, in strong support of this amendment, besides the reporting deletion, where does it stop that we notify law enforcement of every prescription that's written that might be misused, but prescriptions that are being legally prescribed, legally purchased, legally consumed? Why is law enforcement involved in this? Vote aye on the amendment.
Anyone else? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's important to go back to page 4 of the bill, which talks about the membership on this council. And one of the members of the council is supposed to be a law enforcement professional who can help advise them on the issues related to drugs or to plugs. Plugs are very similar. And I think there's a reason for that, because there's a recognition that palliative care, it is still relatively new in the state, and we want a council that is capable of dealing with the issues that arise as it grows and becomes stronger, and can advise whatever body it is appropriate to advise about issues they have discovered. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Okay, moving to the sponsor, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I think the speaker before me just made my point very clear. We already have a law enforcement presence on this council. So, and we also have the Division of Criminal Investigation and our good Attorney General that are being left in this bill. So I think that it is covered. It is an issue of policy. What you want this committee to do, it's our job to decide, because on the previous page, page 6, the council shall. So we're just taking out a few of those shells. We're trying to route this through the Department of Health, which is the department that is standing and that we hear reports from and advice from, and that they can take up this issue with this council. So please support this amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 88. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 2 has been adopted. Being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed, 25 to 31. Bad hearing, I guess. We're now on third reading amendment number 3, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate file number 88. And this goes in simply to the same page, page number 7, and takes a look at subparagraph Romanet 5 there. And let's just take a look at what this does. It doesn't touch anything else on that page other than to renumber it if this passes. So seek opportunities to open a dialogue with law enforcement and regulatory bodies on how to accommodate the legitimate uses of, now it doesn't say prescription here, it just says drugs, for palliative care with efforts to control the dangerous and illegal uses of those drugs. Now I want you to note that at the bottom of the page in Romanet number 6, it does use the word prescription on line 19. I have a question, what kind of drugs are they talking about here in Romanet number 5? We're talking about palliative care, but it seems to me this is kind of a roundabout way to open dialogue on a specific kind of drug we have been arguing about, talking about for years in this body. I just think it's a little strange way to go about that level of dialogue. And so with that, I think we still accomplish the entire focus of this bill, but without convoluting what this bill is trying to do if we just extract Romanet 5. So with that, I'll take questions.
Any further discussion? Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we addressed this issue very well on the last amendment. And in this this dialogue that needs to be established on the council, I think it's important that we remember that a police officer is going to be present on this council, and medical providers or health professionals will be also included on it. And I think that it's important that we remember that there is a significant issue of illegal issues on in regard to these drugs that a pain specialist uses. And I think we need to have these people kind of discuss this and come to some kind of conclusions about these issues. So therefore, I am against this amendment just as I was the last amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the same reasons I was opposed to the previous amendment, on and against this amendment, thank you very much.
Anyone else? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just struck that we are going to involve law enforcement in the delivery of medicine. Law enforcement involved in the delivery of medical care. I urge your aye vote on this amendment and no on the overall bill, but let's keep law enforcement out of the doctor's office.
Anyone else? Representative Sweeney.
I'm in against the amendment for the bill. It's not about delivery. It says seek opportunities to open a dialogue with law enforcement and regulatory bodies on how to accommodate the legitimate uses of drugs for palliative care. So I think it's a communication tool, and especially in our rural areas where this does not exist, that's what this council is going to help with. I believe it's also vote no on the amendment, please.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So on this amendment, you've heard the discussion, and actually it was pointed very directly to the omission that that was of concern. And I would respectfully argue you can defeat this amendment, adopt the next one, and that is accomplished. So if you're looking for a fix to the concern that was brought by the bringer of this amendment, defeat this amendment and adopt the next one, and that is taken care of. And I would I would urge defeat of this one, adoption of the next one, and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Clem?
Thank you, members. I would I'd urge a no vote on this amendment. I think that this was left there for a reason, and it's kind of a sly way to talk about marijuana and medical marijuana. So let's leave it in there. If we're going to have palliative care, we're going to talk about pain management, let's talk about medical marijuana. So on and against the amendment, leave it in there.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time for the sponsor. Sponsor, Representative Winters.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate that roundabout way of saying what I was trying to say. It's a good way to do it, too. In reality, that doesn't need to be in there. The rest of the bill remains intact without Romanet 5. With Romanet 5, it appears that the entire discussion revolves now around alternative treatments for palliative care that is really should stand alone as a subject in this body. If we want to bring in different kinds of drug treatments in this body, then let's have the conversation straightforward. But now to take that conversation and put it in the hands of this group, who then goes around and talks about it with all sorts of people, and then they go to the Department of Health, and then it becomes a convoluted process to get to where we are. And I don't think that's what we're trying to do in this bill. So on and for this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 4. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of amendment number 4 to Senate File 88 and ask for your favorable consideration. I think the debate over this bill has pretty much fleshed out the need for this amendment, which, you know, in talking to some of the authors of this bill, they admit maybe it was an oversight. So what this does is it goes to the paragraph that we have been discussing for quite a while here on page 7, and in between the words of and drugs on line 12, we're just going to insert the word prescription, which is consistent with the paragraph below, and I think it cleans it up and it helps direct the conversation that we're trying to have. And so I'd ask for your aye vote on this amendment.
Anyone else? Seeing no further discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 4 has been adopted. We are now back to third reading amendment number 1. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 88, and then I will withdraw it shortly, I hope. Folks, we've had some interesting discussions the last few days on this bill, and I think we've missed several opportunities. And the first one was yesterday when we had an amendment that really accomplished the things that I heard were lacking in our state, which was people don't know where to get palliative care, they don't know where it exists, they don't know how to access it. There's a number of things that were probably legitimate concerns, and we had an amendment yesterday that put all of that responsibility in the hands of the Department of Health to provide that to the citizens of the state without anything else to that impacted it. But we chose to reject that, and we're set on establishing a council. We heard yesterday that palliative care is a scientific medicine, and therefore we cannot have any other type of professions being involved in the administration or contemplation of this council. But yet you've heard today that we've got law enforcement in it. We go down to the bottom of page 4, Romanet 5, and we've got to have a member of active faith community in Wyoming, one member active in the faith community of Wyoming as part of the council. And I don't, so is this type of care based on science or is it based on faith? And so we keep seeing these conflicting things on this bill that just reiterate the concerns that I have with it. Also at the bottom of page 4, we're going to select 3 to 7 additional members of this council, that which may include members having some other kind of experience, but there really is no requirement for any of the other, the remaining members to be assigned. They could be, and no offense intended to anybody, but they could be from any walk of life or any occupation and really have nothing to do with this. Would we suspect that they would have something to do with this type of care? Well, possibly, but it certainly isn't in the bill, and it certainly isn't a requirement that we're going to adopt. At the bottom of page 5, they're supposed to meet twice annually, but then we say that the members of the council shall not receive compensation for their services. That's like going hunting pheasants with a crippled dog. You know, it's a good idea. We're going to go hunt pheasants, and you ought to have a dog. But you know, we can't find a good one, so we'll just. It's just the craziest thing, you know. So. So we're going to create this council and have them do all this stuff. We're not going to fund them to do any of it. I just love this, you know. And so, my apologies, Mr. Speaker. No disrespect intended at all. We can fund it, though. The funding for the expenses associated with the council come out of the department of that's going to oversee it, which we just cut $134 million out of their budget this year. But we're going to add in some extra responsibilities. We move along there, and they're going to advise the governor and in the committee. And then at the end of this thing, we're going to have the interim committee report by July 1st in 2022 on the success or failure of this council. It takes us 5 years to figure out if these guys can get this done. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. I wish I was crying, then I could apologize and say I'm a big boob. But I just would, again, no respect. I know that there's a need in this, but it's just, I just don't understand the need for this council. And Mr. Chairman, with that, I would urge the no vote on this bill, and I would withdraw my amendment.
Okay. We have a few members who like, we're going to continue to debate the amendment. And for your first time, thank you. Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment against the bill. I honestly believe this is the only amendment that makes this bill palatable.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of the amendment, I just don't understand the need for this bill. That people don't know what palliative care is, I think is an insult to our caregiving community in this state. A simple search, either on an engine that begins with B or G, will show at least 800,000 references to palliative care. Pleading ignorance of palliative care is just not credible. So why is this bill needed? I had two questions during the presentation of this bill in committee, neither one of which were answered, and I think the non-answers were telling. Number one, one of my questions had to do with, is this a path to another professional licensing board or another requirement to an existing profession before they can get licensed? Is this going to become a subspecialty of some profession or other. That question was not answered. Second question I had to do with billing for palliative care. Is there a new ICD-10, which are diagnostic codes for billing purposes, for palliative care? Is this a therapy for which people are going to be reimbursed, or basically, is this being done for money? The question was not answered. The difference between hospice and palliative care is negligible. For us to assert in this bill that palliative care includes hospice care is accurate. But then we spend much of the bill attempting to differentiate between palliative care and hospice care, where even if you just click on one of those search results for palliative care, you will see that there's not a dime's worth of difference between palliative and hospice care, both of which result in death, neither one of which claims to hasten death, except that they might. One is got a cure in mind, one doesn't. And I'll give you a nickel if you can tell me which one is which. My point is there's no difference between palliative care and hospice care. My other point is that there's no ignorance of palliative care in this state, and I think any health care provider would be able to give you a couple of paragraphs on it as you passed in the street. So, aye on the amendment and no on the bill.
Anyone else? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Aye on the bill and against the amendment. And it never hurts to bring professionals from various fields together and have a conversation about how we can improve what we're doing, where there are holes in the state regarding this care. And so I think it's entirely appropriate to have a council just look into this and see, you know, what's going on in this arena, how can we improve it, how can we help what is a very difficult time in life, and how can we make this happen better? And maybe the answer is we'll find out, you know, we're not going to be successful in improving what we have, but hopefully we can. And you know, to the other, I guess, the bringer of this amendment, as it relates to providing no funding, you know, and a lame dog going to hunt with a lame dog, I would suggest to you that that dog goes to hunt because he loves you, not because he's worried about if he's going to get paid.
Anyone else? Representative Palaman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll answer a few of the questions that my colleague from the Star Valley had. Number one, is it going to be a subspecialty of care, palliative care? No, I don't believe it is, because that's actually part of the medical profession already, and they don't need a subspecialty for it. So I don't think that that is going to be happening. And is it reimbursed? Of course it is, because most of these conditions are, well, they require medical treatment. And when you require medical treatment, you bill for that service. So they would be billed for this service, and they would be reimbursed for palliative care. And finally, the difference between palliative care and hospice care. Hospice care is a portion of palliative care. But palliative care involves a office practice, patients in your office are seen, and they receive palliative care there. So I think that that answers those questions. Then I would go on to discuss the council. The palliative care bill establishes a council of professionals whose sole purpose is to work for the improvement of the provision of palliative care in our state. The members have broad experience and expertise in providing for it, and they have clear instruction on how to do it. First of all, the group includes law enforcement and medical providers. This brings together two groups who have very different views on how to alleviate suffering due to pain. Pain specialists believe that drugs can and should be used to solve pain issues. The legal community sees the prescription of pain-reducing drugs as leading to addiction. Both sides need to listen to the other and to work together. This panel offers some possibility of working towards such a solution. Secondly, the council can enlist hospitals and practitioners in an educational effort to advance attention to palliative care. Thirdly, the council can be a clearinghouse for what constitutes the best practices in the field. Fourthly, it can help get the word out through its members to elements of society that otherwise may be unaware of palliative care issues. And that includes the Department of Health. The Department of Health has a certain group that listens to it, but this body would have a broad group of people that would they would be able to communicate with. So, therefore, I am against this amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was a signer on this bill, and I've been for it last year and again this year. I never saw it as a nefarious attempt at expanding bureaucracy. We're not much in favor of letting people try leafy green substances to help them with their pain. We're not very much in favor of ending life prematurely to help people deal with their pain. So I think we need to give people some alternatives. Every place doesn't have a wonderful hospice center like this community has. I think when you're coming to a difficult spot in your life where you're in daily pain or your end of life is near, your first inclination is not going to be to go to the internet to look for help. You're probably going to want somebody to hold your hand and help you get through it. So I really like this bill. I think it is one that we will pass out of the many hundreds we're going to pass this session that before your days are done might do a lot of people a lot of good when they most need it. Against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, this is a bill that I wanted so desperately to vote for because this is one of the most important topics that you will face with individuals as you talk to them in those last moments, in those last days before they step into that dark night. And yet, what this bill does is takes an idea that appears to me to be conceived in paperwork and dedicated to the foreman quadruplicate. It builds this massive council, and it doesn't seem massive, but it's one of those things where it so far exceeds where it ought to go. And three times I've attempted to make this a bill that I could support because I believe in the importance of the subject. But sadly, I can't support the bill because it doesn't actually address some of the things I think that need to be addressed. And it saddens me to say that I'm for the amendment and against the bill.
First time, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously on and for the bill because this is my second or third day doing this. I just want to correct a few misconceptions about palliative care before we vote on this bill. First, it's a board-certified practice for physicians. This is not something that physicians do on their own as part of their practice necessarily. Palliative care is something physicians can specialize in. But palliative care is not just about physician practice. One of the great things about it is multidisciplinary, and that is one of the main purposes of it, that it is not just a medical issue that these patients are dealing with. They are also dealing with issues related to their family that may relate to what the burden they may be placing on their family because of their illness and how to deal with what might happen after they are gone. It's also worth pointing out that not all the patients are terminal. Many of these patients merely have a chronic disease that causes them great pain and discomfort that they need to learn how to manage. I would also then strongly push back on the notion that a crippled dog can't hunt. In the defense of all the crippled dogs of the world, and I have owned one, these dogs can still hunt. Against the amendment and strongly in favor of the bill. Thank you very much.
Representative Sweeney.
Definitely against the amendment for the bill. And if you notice who is the prime sponsor, the good chairman of the Senate, Labor Health, I think he would be appalled, judging from his testimony before the committee, that there's anything nefarious about this act. And just judging from when I brought up the green leafy subject as an interim possibility subject and his reaction, I can tell you that was furthest from his mind in this bill and furthest from my mind in this Senate file. So I urge you to support this bill, and I just think nobody's calling anybody ignorant, that people don't know what this is, but I think that there are families out there that can use the help of this council and gather more information, and whether the report's 5 years, I think they'll get a lot done and report back very quickly and come up with more and more options. So on and for the bill, not for the amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the bill against the amendment, it was brought up by an individual that this just creates a council and that's all they're going to do is be a council and government bureaucracy, yada, yada. Well, if you turn to page 6, the council shall, as its first priority, seek to maximize the effectiveness of palliative care in Wyoming by making comprehensive and accurate information. And number 2, consult with and advise the Department of Health on matters related to establishment. So of actually doing this. You know, folks, I think a lot of us have all experienced, you know, everybody's experienced death in their family, and it's a hard deal to deal with. But when you're dealing with those that are dying, and it's taken a while, you know, I've had several grandparents die of CLPD, and it's a long process, and it's painful, and it's one of those situations where it would have been nice to be able to have something like this in place, I guess. Just something to consider. This isn't euthanasia. I know that's where a lot of people are jumping, but that's not it. So on and against amendment for the bill.
Anyone else? Moving on to Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to urge you once last time to vote aye on the amendment and no on the bill. And I thank my excellent colleague who sits behind me for making one of my points for me, that palliative care is already a practice and it's already widely utilized. I've seen it firsthand. It's an excellent practice. I don't dispute that. Who doesn't like the notion of palliative care? This bill is completely unnecessary. I have yet to hear a good justification for the creation of a council, the inclusion of law enforcement in the delivery of palliative care. and I urge your no vote on the bill.
Okay. Sponsor the amendment. No, we're finishing up second time. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Law enforcement is involved in the dispensing of drugs now, so there's nothing new. That's an issue that is, well, that's an everyday issue in every doctor's office. So I don't think there's anything new there. So from that standpoint, that's one issue I don't think we really need to worry about. So thank you, Mr. Speaker, on the bill and against the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're now moving to the sponsor of the amendment. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of things that I think we need to, before we vote on this, determine in. We keep coming back about the need for this type of care. Nobody's arguing that. This has nothing to do with the profession. It has nothing to do with the profession. It has everything to do with creating a council. Now, and I would argue that if we really need to get information out about this type of care, that the department who oversees this type of stuff is best suited to do that. If they feel that there's a need to get stakeholders involved, then I would suggest that perhaps we could have them make that recommendation back to committee number 10 and do that and maybe get some means whereby they can at least have the opportunity to meet. But this is not about the care. This is about creating a council to do to talk about the needs of a number of things related to that profession. We heard that this is a council of professionals. That just is inaccurate as you read the bill. It is a council that has professionals, I will concede. But as you read the language, there is no requirement on the rest of them that they have to be professionals. We, as you look at what the things that the good representative who is taller than me talks about, the responsibilities that they have to do is to consult with the department. Well, I get, and we can do that without traveling because we don't have any budget for these guys, but they have to be available as needed. Again, no budget to do that, but they've got, but we're requiring them to be available as needed to do this. There's just so many things in how this is structured that just does not make sense to me. I think that, you know, boy, we missed a chance yesterday, I really believe, to have a bill that really addressed what I continually hear over and over about getting the information on this type of care out around the state, and I think that we could have done that by having the Department of Health work to provide those resources. I think by creating this council is a mistake, and now, Mr. Chairman, I believe it's the time to withdraw my amendment.
Third reading amendment number 1 has been withdrawn. Senate file 88, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Allen. No. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
No. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley. Haley? Aye. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Aye. Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
No.
No. McKim.
Aye.
Aye. Miller.
No.
No. Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
No.
No. Obermuller.
No.
No. Olson.
No.
No. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pieperinen.
No.
No. Pawnell.
No.
No. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
No. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Crank. Aye to no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 35 aye, 25 no.
Senate File 88, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 88 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 148.
Senate File 148, sponsored by Senator Christensen, Agricultural Tax Valuation, Farmstead, an act relating to ad valorem taxation, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 148, having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen. Senate File 148. Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
No.
No. Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
No. Pawnell.
No.
No. Salazar.
Aye.
Aye. Schwartz.
No.
No. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson. No. Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Pawnell. No to aye. Further changes? Mr. Speaker. No to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 41 aye, 19 no.
Senate File 148 having been read three separate times, Senate File 48 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 148 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, sponsored by Senator Kinski, manufacturing machinery exemption sunset date, an act relating to taxation, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70 and ask for your favorable consideration. Just a brief request of the body before we go on to the final vote, and that is on page 2, line 20, we had had a standing committee amendment decreasing the time period down to 6 years, and I just think that 6 years is a pretty short period of time for manufacturers when they're making decisions. It's kind of a really, I think it would be better to go back to the original 2027 date, and so I would ask for your favorable consideration for that.
Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask the body to resist that. You know, sunsets in a law like this does have a purpose, and the purpose is that it gives each respective committee that's involved with the sunset an automatic audit or an automatic check every so often. So all we're asking here is, well, how often should that be? And just from all the sunsets that we work with in my committee, they're always 4 years or 6 years. It seems like they're always that. Rarely do we go out this long. And the other practical thing here, I think, is that, you know, you go up 10 years down, we had gone through the fact that this exemption is a $10 million a year tax appropriation, really. And if you go 10 years in a row, that's $100 million. We're just cavalierly saying we won't look at it for 10 years. You know, all of our regular appropriations are biennium. You know, I'd rather see a sunset like that to match up with, you know, when is the state going to need the money or does the state need the money? So I think the responsible thing to do would be to leave it as it was amended in the sponsors committee the other day. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I find myself at the podium again. I should be careful. On and against the amendment, this exemption has been in place since 2004. And in its two previous iterations, it's had a 6 or a 7 year sunset. I think we don't need to go to a longer one. It's proved to be successful in that form, and a 6 year duration is appropriate. So on and against the amendment, on and for the bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in strong support of the amendment, restoring the 2027 expiration date will send a message that Wyoming is open for business, especially as our future is so uncertain. Let's not hamstring anyone that's considering moving to this great state with the uncertainty of what the body's going to do in 4 years. Extend the expiration date and vote aye on the amendment and aye on the bill.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, this is an economic development tool, and we need this tool, especially when one of the major focuses of our state is to attract more manufacturing. And so to have a 10-year period is really attractive when you're trying to bring in someone from outside and you're offering this as an incentive. So I'm very much in favor of this amendment as well as the bill. So thank you.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, I think that while I certainly appreciate the intent of this, in what experience I've seen in putting sunset dates on anything like this is that if we go too far over the horizon of that sunset, that it's a very difficult to be able to see 10 years down the road what the state of the economy is going to be, what the state of anything is going to be. And so, you know, I would certainly be in favor of having a discussion at some point down the road to make this permanent. But I think that it's safe to have simply a 6 or 7 year sunset period. And so once again, against the amendment for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment as well. We received some great handouts yesterday that overviewed the value of these exemptions to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars a year. I think it is absolutely our obligation to take a look at these exemptions regularly and also to know that Wyoming is very, very much open for business. Again, if you take a look at the handouts that we received yesterday, our industrial tax rates are among the lowest in the nation for both urban and rural communities at a rate that is 3 times lower than the national norm. We are very much open for business. So on and against the amendment, let's take a look at these exemptions regularly.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think that this state could use some influx of manufacturing that would put those that have already lost their jobs, give them a place to work so they don't have to leave the state. On and for the amendment.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the reasons you have an exemption like this is one of the bedrock principles of an exemption like this is that there's a certainty there. And if you have a sunset date that is only 5 years, I mean, that's sort of going against one of the bedrock principles of why you would have an exemption in the first place. So please vote aye on the amendment and aye on the bill.
Anyone else? First time. Hey, we're going to move to second time. Anyone would like to speak a second time before the sponsor? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate all the support because I think the comments made by the folks in favor of my amendment were excellent. I think we are open for business and we'll be a lot more open for business if there's a certainty and folks not having to decide something new every 6 years. So I would let's go ahead and call for the question.
Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate File 70, having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
Aye.
Aye. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
No.
No. McKim.
Aye.
Aye. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
No.
No. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Aye. Pawnell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
Aye.
Aye. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney. Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Obermuller. No to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no.
Senate File 70, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 70 has passed the House. Members, we have a pause before adjournment. I'd like to recognize Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, February 28th, this body voted not to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 137, the Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Mason's sections 480 through 483 and the past practice of this House, I move to rescind the action of the House in not concurring to the Senate amendments to House Bill 137.
Okay, members, so the bill is still in our possession, and although whether we've sent a message or not, that message can be corrected. So this motion is in order. So the vote then on the question of rescinding our action, and we yesterday voted to not concur. Now there's a motion to rescind that action. This is a debatable motion, and it will require a majority of the elected members. So anyone for the first time would like to talk about this motion to rescind? Chairman Zwanitzer, for your first time. Okay, and I'm going to ask now the mover of this motion, Representative Biteman, perhaps maybe for our first time, if you would kind of present the case for this, and then we'll do second reading debate rules. You'll go for your first time, and then you'll be the last to go for your second time. So, Representative Biteman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, we came with full intentions of voting for a concurrence. The Senate amendments that were in there, we didn't feel were that harmful. Debate happened, and a fellow representative brought up some points, and then the wheels just kind of fell off the thing. Before we could herd the cats back into the corral, it looked like we were going to lose the vote. So after looking at this, we've talked to plenty of attorneys about this. The amendment in question is somewhat circular. It's harmless, we feel. And, the language isn't the tightest, but I don't think it hurts the bill, and I would encourage your I vote on the bill and concurrence. Thank you.
Okay. For your first time, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess, again, I'd bring up the same points as yesterday. I don't know why we wouldn't wait for a concurrence committee. But really what you've done in the bill is say that we're going to make a law that says any governmental entity is required to carry allows concealed carry in that meeting. And you're not going to make the legislature do the same thing, at least for the next 2 years, maybe three. It just seems really weird. If we're going to make every other government entity in the state do this, we should say, hey, we're going to do it too. It just seems like one of those awkward mandates that goes out that we really probably haven't researched as well as I know people in here think we have, but we haven't ever had an interim study. You start reading through government claims and what governmental entities are. I mean, this is every political subdivision of the state. So you're talking special district meetings. It actually talks about, the University of Wyoming and community colleges being governmental entities, but they're covered elsewhere in T. But maybe I'll defer for a little bit and then read you what a governmental entity is and just make sure you all know what you're about to do and that you're going to do it while not making the same, ramifications or the same requirements on us as a body, because we're, stuck in this building, for lack of a better term, because it's private property for the time being, and we won't have firearms in legislative meetings, but we can tell all the special districts and all the county city government they can. It just seems, kind of wrong to me, and I think if we had a conference committee, they could spend some more time on this and really work it out. But I don't think it's ready for prime time, and I know there's a push and an impetus behind these kind of bills to just put them out there, and we'll see the ramifications. But I would, ask everybody to at least, if we're going to do this step, try to make the language the best we can, like we do with every other bill in this instance.
Okay, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I really do appreciate the opportunity to kind of redo this. I was scrambling yesterday The internet wasn't working. I couldn't pull up the bill. The bill wasn't in my file. And by the time I actually started to pull it up on my phone, the first reading was over, and I couldn't speak after that. And I really wanted to try to clear the air because we went into this thing, and I'm a co-sponsor in this bill, and I had met with the sponsor, and we did have full confidence that we were going to go in yesterday for concurrence. The fact of the matter is some of the language that the Senate had put in as far as some of the repealed sections, they fixed our mistake, and that was good. And the thing in question really was, and I have the bill here so I can refer to it now, it really was on that second page. And talks about persons lawfully carrying weapons in Wyoming under Wyoming Statute 6810482 or 3 may carry a concealed weapon in the following places. And the first one was any meeting of a governmental entity on public property. So there you're talking about county commission, city council, or other types of governmental entities. And that doesn't include the permissive language, okay? The second thing is the second bullet point was this. Any meeting of the legislature or committee thereof on public property where permitted, I think, was the language that was inserted. And we thought about that going back and just in cleaning that up and saying where otherwise permitted by law. It really says the same thing. And the main impetus behind that was the university over the hill. But here's the thing. The university is still governed under a separate set of statutes that protects it from us if we were to have a legislative meeting from going over there and carrying anyway. So it was kind of a mute thing. We thought, well, we could live with it, and but as it was explained just a moment ago, the wheels kind of fell off the wagon. People were really in a fretful thing saying, let's go to conference committee, when the fact of the matter is the bill as it stands is okay. It does what is intended, and it works for us. And so I would urge your I vote to rescind our vote yesterday and then later on to vote to concur. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the motion to rescind. I heard the bringer of this motion talk about herding cats, and you consider this cat herded back into his little corral. Yesterday we talked about this situation and talked about some of this language. I don't think the language is perfect, but neither is any piece of legislation we send out of here. You guys have seen the Food Freedom Act. We've come back and amended that several times over the years to try and put it on point. And if this is one of those situations we got to come back and touch up, that's what we do. That's why we're a legislative body, and that's why we meet every year. So on in favor of the motion to rescind.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the motion to rescind, the heart of this bill remains intact. So if you are supportive of this bill, support it today, rescind it, and then vote for concurrence. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A first for a second.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I also favor of a vote to rescind. This is a major piece of legislation. It needs to pass. It needs to go forward. This is the way we can do it. I ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday we had an overwhelming vote that we weren't going to concur, and the normal thing that happens then is you have a conference committee. Conference committee works out, you know, the positions of both houses and try to come up with a compromise, and I haven't seen that being done here yet, so I don't know why we would want to rescind that. You know, I guess I'm missing something, but I don't know why we wouldn't wait for the conference committee report.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is one of those instances where we're exercising a rule that it's my understanding that we don't commonly exercise. But I think we're exercising it for a good reason. We attempted to set a committee, and that committee hasn't been set for whatever reason, and we don't need to get into those details. But I think the reality is that since I gave you my legal analysis yesterday, and I still believe that there is some ambiguity with the law, but we have, we vetted that amendment with several other attorneys, and I think the conclusion is that it's probably more harmless than we think. And as I went back through the process, I went back and looked at what the Senate did, and I looked at the amendment that brought this in, and what's interesting is that the amendment that brought in to question the language that we are considering was a multi-piece amendment. that was divided several times. And as you know, as lawmakers, that when that happens to an amendment, oftentimes the intent of the amendment is very much lost. And as I look back, I realize, you know what, that's probably what's happening here. And the bulk of what that amendment tried to accomplish isn't even being accomplished. So I think this language by itself is probably harmless. And so I would urge you to rescind so that we can vote on this bill and send it to the chief executive's desk.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you remember yesterday on the debate on concurrence, I asked a simple question twice, never got an answer, which to me meant if you remember, the question was very simple. Did the amendments that the Senate took on the bill allow for home rule, in my vocabulary, home rule? In other words, the fair city that I hail from could opt in or out. And I never, if you remember, I never got that question answered in either time, which in my opinion, and later I was told, the reason I didn't get an answer is I was correct, in my assumption that this bill does not allow for home rule. And so I would urge you, unless I get a question answered differently on this, I cannot support rescinding this because I think this is a maneuver to salvage the legislation from the Senate.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else first time? Moving on to second time before the mover of this motion. Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just want to clarify something that I said. When I said we failed to set a committee, I didn't mean we as in the People's House failed to set a committee. We did set a committee, but the other side of our building did not set that committee.
Representative Chairman Zwanich.
Hey, thanks. So all sorts of different issues going on. We sent that conference over this morning, and I guess if we're going to roll every single time the Senate doesn't jump to our whims, that's great. I guess we can do that, but it sure seems awkward to do it right away. You know, they're not going to appoint a conference committee. No offense to the Speaker, but I think he has six or seven. He hasn't appointed quite yet today. First day of business. So, you know, maybe if they don't appoint one by tomorrow, we're here till Friday. We can rescind then and roll, but I don't think you want to set a precedent that within, what, they started at 11 this morning over there, that if they don't do something in 4 hours, we're going to roll to whatever their position is. Anyway, I did find the local government, the governmental entity statutes on, we were talking about Romanet 1, and this is kind of my contention all along, that we're treating the legislature differently under Romanet 2 than we are every other governmental entity, which includes joint powers boards, school districts, counties, towns, airport boards, public corporations, special districts, and all political subdivisions of their state, the agencies, instrumentalities, and institutions. So if you really think we should treat every other instrumentality and special district under the state one way, besides the way we treat the legislature and do an edict from here, it's a little weird to me, but I guess we can do that. So at this time, all I'm asking is not to rescind it today. Let's put some faith in our colleagues down the hall that they will come together on this and tighten the statute or fix some word changes. And if they don't do that by tomorrow afternoon, we can try the motion again. We can come back at it, and we can roll then. But I would submit to the body, you don't want to set a precedent that if they don't do something within 4 hours, we automatically rescind, and it's not a good position to be in politically.
Thank you, Chairman. And just to update the record, your speaker has appointed every conference committee. I'm still waiting on two from our counterparts down the hall. Every conference committee has been appointed that's come to my desk. So thank you. Now that we have the record straight, is there anybody else for their second time? Representative Byrd.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would like to echo most of the comments from the previous speaker, except for that conference committee. I believe we made the right decision yesterday. Withstanding the carve-out for the legislature doesn't seem right that we'd make rules for everybody else and then cut ourselves out of that regulation. So this thing is not ready for prime time. You all had a chance to vote on it yesterday, and you voted what you thought was a proper way. So let's stick with that, and I would vote this down with a no vote.
Well, sir, second time. Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, to the members, if you support this bill, this is the way it can go forward. I ask for you to vote yes and rescind. Thank you.
Anyone else? Second time. Seeing movement. Okay, we are going to the movement of the motion. Everybody who was offered a second chance, who spoke a first time. With that, Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, yesterday was got a little confusing, but we always intended to concur. Things got a little hairy. I made a mistake. We shouldn't have made a mistake. That's why we have this rule for occasions like this. I want to invoke this rule, rescind the vote, let's get it right, and move on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, just so we're clear on the vote, the motion is, then the question is, should the House rescind its previous action and not concurring in Senate amendments to House Bill 137? So your aye vote will rescind our action. And then if that vote is successful, we will then have debate and further debate and a vote on concurrence. So this motion is on the rescinding our action. It will take a majority of the members elected, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bovee.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Furphy, aye to no. Further changes? Salazar? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 40 aye, 20 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, the motion to rescind House action on House Bill on rescind our previous action and not concurring to Senate amendments to House Bill 137 has passed. We are now on, by your vote to rescind our previous action and not concur, we are now have another motion. Representative Biteman.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 137 and ask you to vote aye.
Okay, like all motions to concur, this is debatable. Second reading rules of debate. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Several other representatives made a point in here that now that we have the other body, it looks like some of them sitting in here with us realize that if they don't appoint a committee now, that and maybe we'll fold our tent and capitulate. On and for the bill.
Anyone else? Okay, any other members? Representative Sweeney, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I could support this if the ability in my district, the city of Casper and Natrona County itself, does not want to allow guns. But the town of Barnon, in my district, in the heart of my district, wants to allow guns. So I don't see why we're forcing this onto our municipalities or our counties or special district meetings. And the National Rifle Association, frankly, isn't going to do a damn thing to me. So,
point of order.
I already have an app.
I'd remind members to refrain from using personal names of people and organizations. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Let's sharpen it up here a bit. Now, anybody else? We're moving on to second reading, or second time at the mic. Any members for their second time? Seeing none. Shall the House concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 137? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Bovey. No. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank. Crank. Dayton. No. Edwards.
Aye.
Aye. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman. No. Furphy.
Aye.
Garou. No. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney. No. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Crank. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Henderson? Aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 47 aye, 13 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 137. Members, and to update you on this conference committee appointment, so we're just waiting. Your House has appointed every conference committee that has come to my desk. So there is a time delay when a message is read in before it can be processed. Usually, though, we try to get most of these within the same day. We work pretty quickly, but if they come later in the day, they'll be at first thing in the morning. So the only one that I see on my report on my desk is House Bill 55, where House appointed a conference committee over a week ago, and we're still waiting on Senate appointments to the bill. And I would point out that the House's our joint rules don't specify that you have to have two aye votes and a no vote. And it references Masons, and particularly Section 769, Paragraph 5, when there's a division in the House with reference to a bill, it is established practice to appoint a majority of the committee from the prevailing side in the controversy, but to also appoint a representative from the minority. Committees of three, two will represent the majority, and one the minority. I would also remind you that your House of Representatives has followed Masons on every appointment. Can't speak for anyone else but our House. Okay, members, I would like to visit with you about tomorrow. You have an email. I think you have a handout distributed to you. It's stapled. I believe it's three pages. And so this will affect the majority floor leader's motion on adjournment. It has some information, but the bottom line to summarize, the House will begin its business tomorrow with roll call at 8 a.m. on the south steps of the Capitol. That's the side that we generally walk in, that most of the public generally walks in. That is the side that faces the depot at the other end of the street. If you would, you can read more particulars, but we will take the roll call. We have a group prayer that will be distributed by Representative Steinmetz, and we will pledge allegiance. The flag outside the Capitol still flies. At that point, our next order of business, we will take a moment to tour the project for those who have not had the opportunity. Those who have had the opportunity will band together, walk down the street in a tour. Many of the attorneys who have practiced before the Supreme Court, remember the old Supreme Court and the newly renovated. You'll be able to see what has happened with that branch of our government. That was a little less than 10 years ago when we appropriated funds to do that. And then the most recent addition is a Judicial Learning Center, where we appropriated half the funds, a little less than half, and the rest were privately raised in a matching grant that we've used successfully in many areas of government and education and so on. So if you turn to the third page, members, there's a map, and you can see where the roll call will be held. You can see the parking structure. It's on the left side of the piece of paper. That would be to the west. North is primarily to the top of this page, primarily north. And you can see where the construction trailers are at. You can see the Judicial Learning Center. So once we break after the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll go our separate ways. We'll eventually come back to the parking garage, and we'll reconvene at approximately 10:30 at the sound of the gavel here at the Jonah Center. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 8 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, March 12th, 2017, and we're convening at the south side of the Capitol. So just a reminder there. And we'll reconvene after the tour at 10:30 here in this room at the Jonas Center at the Sound of the Gavel.
And just a technical, that Mr. Majority Florida, I thought I heard you say March 2nd. Was that correct? Did I hear?
That's correct, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, Thursday, March 2nd. You've all heard the motion. Are there any announcements? Any conference committee announcements? Any other announcements? Any privileges of the floor? Okay, you've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The House is adjourned until 8 a.m. Thursday, March 2nd at the Wyoming State Capitol.